Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, that gets me fired up, man. The Patriots music, you know, reminds me of the NFL season. But we're talking NBA right now. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so. Tweeted me as well. I'm at It's Brian Barrett on Twitter. All right, so the Celtics, tough loss tonight. 114-105. A couple of things that stick out. Brad Stevens, not a good job whatsoever in this game. You think about the fact that Nikola Jokic in the first half, all they were doing, he was setting a pick, he was popping out, he was either getting a wide-open jumper or finding somebody for one of his 7 assists. It was simple. That's all they were doing, picking and popping with Nikola Jokic. Guy's an outstanding passer, and the guy's a really good shooter for his size. And Brad Stevens, they played the same defense the whole time. They were just going underneath and letting the big man on the Celtics defense sink back like Al Horford or whoever it was, and he was getting either a wide open shot or he had the opportunity to find somebody wide open. Made no sense to me whatsoever. The other thing I look at is, in this game, how did Jaylen Brown play 20 minutes? Somebody needs to explain to me how Jaylen Brown played 20 minutes. Unless there's something wrong with Jaylen Brown that none of us are aware of, because I didn't see anything from Brad Stevens' post-game comments about Jaylen Brown. Okay, didn't see anything from Jaylen Brown's post-game comments or Brad Stevens' post-game comments. Because over the past three games before this, he was shooting 60% from the field. He had at least three three-pointers in the past three games. 22 points, 23 points, 23 points. He had been outstanding. Terry Rozier plays 21 minutes. And you have Marcus Morris playing 35 minutes. Marcus Smart playing 33 minutes. And Jaylen Brown, who has been your second-best player since the turn of the new year, since the turn of the calendar year, why the hell is Jaylen Brown only playing in this game 20 minutes? Somebody needs to explain that one to me, okay? And then the other thing I point out in this game, Jason Tatum, what is going on with the long twos? How many times is he going to do this throughout the year? This is a game where he can't shoot the basketball. Get to the line, man. You only got to the line twice in this game. This is something that clearly the Celtics do not emphasize. If you look at free throw rate, they're last in the NBA. If you look at free throws per game, I believe they're still second to last in the NBA. So clearly it's not something that the coaching staff stresses, but how can you not show this information to Jason Tatum and say, Jason, if you get to the line, it's going to help you more? When you were playing your best basketball of your career, that was the postseason, and you were getting to the line five times per game. Okay, so those are the things I look at from the coaching staff and the players on the court tonight that just really, really irritated me. And there's no way that that should have been a tie game going into the fourth quarter. Okay, first of all, Marcus Morris inbounds the ball out of bounds. How is that even remotely possible? How is that possible? How do you throw it out of bounds? And then how do you let them inbound the ball with 1.1 seconds left and get a wide open dunk to end the quarter to tie the game up? And then when Kyrie Irving goes to the bench, you get outscored 18-10. Somebody in that second unit step up. And it's not even just like second unit guys. Jason Tatum's on the court at that particular point in time. I need more from Jason Tatum. I'm sorry. He's supposed to be this guy that's going to take a leap forward. I need more from him in those minutes. You need to be able to rely on somebody else when Kyrie Irving goes to the bench. That's the scary part as you get ready for the postseason if you're the Boston Celtics. So a game that they clearly should have won, they let slip away. And it looks like a really bad night for Kyrie Irving, not because of what he did on the court, because he was excellent. Kyrie was great. He was the only consistent player on the Celtics tonight. I mean, Al Horford was pretty good as well. He had his 20 points. And another thing with Brad Stevens, that pick and pop that you were using where Nikola Jokic was trying to cover Al Horford, that was really irritating to the Nuggets defense. They couldn't stop it. Al was either getting a wide open shot or somebody else was getting a wide open lane to the basket. Okay, they could not cover the pick and pop. Jokic is not a great defender, and they were exposing him. Yet in the second half, it seemed like they went away from that pick and pop. And especially in the minutes where Kyrie's not on the floor, run your offense through Al Horford at times, because Al Horford, you know, in that pick and pop game, he's devastating to the Nuggets because Jokic can't get out on him. Okay, so take advantage of Jokic's weakness, which is he's not a good defender. He doesn't move well laterally. So take advantage of that. And Brad Stevens decided, for whatever reason, to go away from something that was working in the second half of this game. Okay, so Kyrie Irving on the night played great. He had his 30 points and whatnot. Now, his only blemish was he's 2 for 8 from three-point territory, but everybody in the NBA is going to have an off-shooting night, even if you're an elite shooter. We'd see with Steph Curry and whatnot. Kyrie was really great. I thought his energy was tremendous, especially in the third quarter, where the Celtics were kind of struggling a little bit in the first quarter, second quarter to get their footing. And then Kyrie Irving really got it going. And then the team gave away Kyrie Irving's lead, essentially, that Kyrie Irving went out there and achieved for the team. They gave it away. Kyrie Irving was outstanding. But I just look at a lot of different things from how this night probably sucked for Kyrie. So Kyrie Irving is the guy that was traded for Isaiah Thomas. He has to watch Isaiah Thomas get this tribute video. He said after the game that it was a little weird because he was traded for him. He also said that he thinks Isaiah Thomas is going to get back to his old self, which I don't think anybody actually believes. If you watched Isaiah tonight, I don't think you believe that he's going to get back to his old self coming back from that hip injury, especially considering now he's on the other side of 30, probably never going to be the same player again. You just hope for the guy's sake that he can continue to get NBA checks, because right now he's not even in the Nuggets rotation to begin with. But you look at it from this perspective. Kyrie Irving was watching the video tribute. Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier are like going nuts during it. Marcus Smart is smiling. He's throwing his hands up, the four, and Terry Rozier is hugging him, and like they're all pumped up about it. Kyrie's like, hold on, like I'm the guy that you guys gave away for that guy. And you guys are basically going nuts about this video. Like, I'm sure that kind of irritates Kyrie Irving. Not that he's going to say anything, but I can't imagine he enjoyed that. And I can't imagine that he enjoyed the whole day of basically celebrating Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas talking about the fact that, oh, he would be open to returning to the Celtics. Now, if he ever did, we all know that it would be in a really minimal role where he would be like a backup coming off the bench, because right now we're not even sure if he is an NBA player. But you think about the way that the crowd embraced Isaiah Thomas. So he got the standing ovation with the video tribute. He got the standing ovation when he came onto the floor. And then you also look at the fact that people, which I can't believe, and I don't support this at all, when he was shooting the ball, people wanted the ball to go in. Like, they were cheering for Isaiah Thomas to score. Okay, I don't like that whatsoever. I get that you want to honor IT, and you liked Isaiah Thomas when he was here with the Celtics, but come on. You can't be cheering for him when he's playing for the other team shooting the basketball. That's just going to an extreme. But Kyrie Irving sees how beloved Isaiah Thomas is, right? He sees how beloved Isaiah Thomas is, and Kyrie Irving is just like, wait, hold on. I thought this is my team. I thought this was like supposed to be my team now. And Kyrie Irving's done a lot of this to himself. But this is just going to be a crappy night for Kyrie Irving. Because also you factor in, okay, IT was the guy that he was traded for. And then also, this is a game that Kyrie Irving wanted too because of the Jamal Murray thing. Because remember in Denver what happened, where Jamal Murray had 48 points. The game's essentially over. And at the end of the game, he just throws one up try to get 50 points. Kyrie's all irked about that. And Kyrie Irving throws the ball into the stands. He gets that technical foul. He was pissed off about that. So he wanted to beat Jamal Murray and the Nuggets for that reason. And I'm sure that as a competitor, Kyrie Irving wanted to ruin Isaiah Thomas's night. Not as a person, but just like, okay, this whole day, really, the past 48 hours has been about, oh, how great Isaiah Thomas is. Can you believe that Isaiah Thomas is going over to Emerson to play pickup basketball? That's what this whole 24 to 48 hours has been about. It's been about Isaiah Thomas. So I'm sure as a competitor, he wanted to take care of that and make sure that Isaiah Thomas and the Nuggets went home with an L. Now, also, this happened. Chris Forsberg from NBC Sports Boston, Celtics insider, if you will, he has this new show called The Pickup, which he picks up one of the Celtics players in a car, and they drive around, and they talk about things. So in that interview, this is what Terry Rozier said about Kyrie Irving. Now, we can say it all we want about leadership issues and whatnot. And like I said, I'm not pointing to Kyrie on this night in particular. But we all know that there has been issues this season where we've pointed to the fact that, okay, maybe Kyrie is just not a great leader. Or maybe he's just a bad leader. You point to after the Orlando game where he said the young guys don't know how to win a championship, really diminishing what they did last year. And I get they didn't win a championship, but they went to game 7. You're making it sound like those guys have never done anything in their career. He said, I don't have time to wait around for Jaylen Brown. He talked about his free agency where he said, ask me on July 1st. This is after he said to the fan base that if you'll have me back, I will be back. He did the commercial with his dad, right? So a lot of things that irritated the fan base. But now you're also realizing that, like we thought from the outside looking in, we thought that internally this would hurt the team. And we heard about the plane ride a couple of weeks ago and whatnot, and they had solved their issues and everything was kumbaya. But this is Terry Rozier just over the weekend doing this interview with Chris Forsberg, because we can have our opinions about what this is doing to the team. But if things are okay internally, it doesn't really matter. But the reality of it is, things were not okay internally. Here's what Terry Rozier said, quote, "It's easy when Kyrie is in a great mood. When Kyrie is feeling good, our whole team is feeling good. And you know, when Kyrie is feeling good, when he's super engaged, he's smiling, things like that. When he's a little upset, angry, whatever it might be, with the media, whatever, everybody tends to get uptight, and it doesn't work out for us. And I'm talking players, coaches, everything. He's our leader. He's our guy. He's our backbone." So this is Terry Rozier, and I don't even think Terry Rozier was trying to, like, call Kyrie Irving out. He was just, like, answering questions. I don't even think that Terry realizes essentially what he did. He basically called out Kyrie Irving and said when Kyrie Irving's in a bad mood, it basically brings the whole team down. Because remember when Jaylen Brown said it earlier this season when he said leadership starts at the top, referring to Kyrie Irving? That was a big-time story. And now Terry Rozier is basically acknowledging the fact that the way that Kyrie Irving has handled himself at certain times this year, it has had a really big effect on the team, which is all we were pointing out in the media the whole time. So it's just funny how this thing has come full circle with Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving was trying to blame the media for everything for the bulk of this season. If you go back to some of the comments that Kyrie Irving made, remember Steve Bolpet asked him about that video with Kevin Durant where at the All-Star game, he was holding two fingers up saying two max slots. People thought that's what he said. And even if he did say that, he could have just denied it and put an end to the story. Steve Bolpet essentially said, hey, do you want to pour some water on this? And Kyrie went on this rant about the media is doing this for clicks and likes, referring to Steve Bolpet. And Bolpet hadn't written anything about it. He had just asked him a question about it. He's not the one that posted the video. So Kyrie Irving also was on with Rachel Nichols, and he said that the media has torn apart locker rooms. So he is trying to put this whole thing on the media, the issues that the locker room was having. And essentially, you had somebody on his own team, Terry Rozier, whether he meant to do it or not, he basically said that, yeah, Kyrie Irving has essentially been a problem for this team at the locker room. When Kyrie's in a bad mood, it doesn't even affect just the players. It affects the coaches within this organization. That's how deep it goes when Kyrie Irving is in a situation where he's in a bad mood. It weighs on everybody within the organization. That's where Kyrie Irving is at in terms of his leadership right now. And you had a player on the team actually acknowledge that. And I have to imagine that it irked Kyrie Irving to see how pumped, because those guys loved Isaiah Thomas, how pumped Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart were for Isaiah Thomas. They were fired up for the video. They were hyped up for the video. And Kyrie Irving sitting back there like, what the hell? Like, what is going on right now? What is going on? I mean, that had to be an awful night for one Kyrie Irving. He had to have been just irritated at what was going on. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Mike. He's in North Providence tonight. What's going on, Mike?
Hi, Brian. Yeah, let's just focus on the whole Jaylen Brown situation in this game. As you pointed out, he's, you know, been our one of our best players, if not our second best player since the turn of the year. Since December 1st, if you actually, you know, just do a go on and do per 36, he's been the second best scorer on the team. And actually, what's interesting to me is both he and Tatum, if you go in per 36 then from December 1st and you compare that to the playoffs last year for both of them, mm-hmm. virtually identical. So they've basically been the playoff version of themselves on the whole since the beginning of December. The problem is the minutes aren't there. And this is on top of things just being screwed up to begin with. Now, this is a perfect example here. And, you know, Brown's taken a completely different level this year in 2019. In this game, Brad basically said, you know what? Nah, who cares about that? You know, I'd rather have this other guy shoot. And treated him like a role player, right? Basically subverted his game. Did next to nothing to get him involved, right? And this is not like something that's okay. This is a coach who fundamentally doesn't seem to understand who his best players are. And there's no excuse for that. I mean, that I don't care how good you are at drawing up an out-of-bounds play. If you don't know who your best players are, that's the definition of penny-wise and pound-foolish. I mean, how you yeah. if you're going to go and favor lesser players over superior players, everything else is going to be for naught. It doesn't matter how good your team actually is if you don't use them correctly. And in this game, especially with Gordon not out there, to play 17 minutes, I mean, what's going on here?
I don't understand, especially too, Mike. I don't understand this. How is Terry Rozier tonight playing more minutes than Jaylen Brown? How is Marcus Morris playing almost 15 more minutes than Jaylen Brown? I don't understand what justifies Jaylen Brown. The past three games, 60% shooting, 64% from three. In those three games, he had at least three three-pointers. In all three of them, And tonight, he plays 20 minutes. Like I said, the only way that I would give an excuse for this.
17 minutes, I think, actually. More like that. I'm not sure if he even got to 20.
Yeah, I got 20 right here. I got him at 20 and Jaylen Brown at
20. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown at 21. You have, or Jaylen Brown rather at 20. You have Terry Rozier at 21. You have Marcus Morris, who's playing like 35 minutes. And even like Tatum, I get that I want Tatum on the floor too. But how does Jaylen Brown play 16 less minutes than Jason Tatum tonight? I don't understand this whatsoever. What I thought he did tonight, unless there's some excuse we don't know about in terms of Jaylen Brown's dealing with an injury, we've never heard anything about
no,
an injury.
No.
You're right. But what I would say tonight with this case in particular, not playing your second best player right now, that's what Jaylen Brown has become right now. He's been their second best player. Playing him 20 minutes and playing him less minutes than Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, and Marcus Morris, that is downright coaching malpractice.
That's exactly, and that's exactly where I'm coming from. And this is, and I've been spotting this on him for a while now. It's what's going on here is he's doing whatever he wants to do, and it's all about his beliefs and results be damned at this point. And in particular with Brown, he's a guy that it's very easy to get him involved. What you do is you get him, and this is also something that affects Tatum as well. Get him going to the basket. Get him layups, get him shots inside, and then it gets him online, and then everything else works. You don't basically, leave him to basically be shooting only three-pointers and those every now and then, and then you're going to get some sort of good result. If you treat him and use him the way that's good for him, then he'll be extremely productive. And, you know, you were talking about Tatum before, like not getting to the line. This is also Brown as well. A lot of this is simply them not being pushed to the floor enough. I mean, I'm not talking power forward position. I'm talking about getting enough shots, getting respect from the refs. Because when you treat everybody the same and you're spreading the ball around just to spread the ball around willy-nilly the way that happens on this team, then the referees just look at you. And how often do you see Brown and Tatum yelling at the refs because somebody hacks them and they can't even get a call then when the reverse would be completely true, where you would if they got respect, and they were out there scoring 20 points a game or 18 points, because they could be doing that. There's no reason to take shots away from them. Then they would get these calls from the referees, and it would be the defender saying, hey, you know, I barely touched them. But it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Mike. I do. His line's open, 617-779-7937, if you want to grab it. He makes a fair point. I look at it as it is part coaching, because if you look at the numbers, free throws per game, Celtics are dead last or second to last in the NBA free throw rate. They're last in the NBA. So that's something that clearly is not emphasized by the coaching staff. And when you're having a night like Jason Tatum was having tonight and he's struggling, get to the free throw line instead of just attempting two free throws in the game. That's just bad. If you're struggling, get to the basket. This is like basketball 101. This is basketball 101. Okay, when you're not shooting well, get to the line, get yourself going, get to the basket. Get out of the slump. This is basketball 101. I don't understand how Jason Tatum doesn't understand it, and maybe it's because of the coaching staff. I also don't understand the fact that you have a guy right now that is red hot, that was shooting like 67% from three over his last three games, that was averaging 22.5 points per game over his last three games, and you play him 20 minutes tonight. He's your second best player since January. That's how good Jaylen Brown has been. And I don't understand, is he in the doghouse? Because maybe you didn't like the way he played in the first quarter, then why isn't everybody else on the team in the doghouse with the exception of Kyrie Irving and Al Horford tonight? It's not like other people were playing well on the team. Nobody else had a great game with the exception of Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. It really doesn't. I mean, it baffles the mind to think that Jaylen Brown only played 20 minutes tonight. It seems like he is the whipping boy of this team. They blame him for everything. I don't get it. Like, how is Jaylen Brown to blame for anything that's gone wrong with this team over the past couple of months? He's been one of the bright spots. He's been one of the bright spots on the team. And you play him 20 minutes tonight. You're playing Terry Rozier 21 minutes. And God, Terry Rozier gets up his shots. 6 3-pointers, took 9 shots. He has him in the game at the end of the fourth quarter until they finally took him out with like 4 minutes left. Why is Terry still on the floor? 3 of 9 for 7 points. Yet Terry Rozier is going to play more minutes tonight than Jaylen Brown did. Marcus Morris is going to play 35 minutes. He's going to play 15 more minutes than Jaylen Brown. Are you kidding me? In what world does that make sense? In what world does that make sense? Brad Stevens, so many times this year, has just been asleep at the wheel. And this guy we talk about, oh, he's great with the inbounds pass, right? He sets up great plays and whatnot. Well, two plays tonight. One, Marcus Smart threw it out of bounds on an inbounds pass. And another play at the end of the third quarter, Marcus Morris threw it out of bounds. So this guy that was this genius designer of plays, if you will, where the hell has that guy been this season? 617-779-7937. Let's get to Owen. He's in Cambridge tonight. Owen, what's going on? Hey, Owen, turn down your radio, man. All right. Going once. There he goes. 617-779-7937 if you want to grab Owen's number. Yeah, just some of the stuff that Brad Stevens was doing tonight, it's just baffling. And one of the things you felt like heading into the season was, okay, you had the best coach in the Eastern Conference, right? You felt that way heading into the season. Now, maybe you say, okay, Eric Spoelstra in Miami, but in terms of the contenders, because we all know that Miami was never a contender, but in terms of, like, the contenders, you felt like, okay, Budenholzer had just worn out his welcome in Atlanta, and Budenholzer is a coach that has had his issues in the postseason, right? He's had his postseason issues. You look at Nick Nurse, he's a first-year coach taking over for Dwayne Casey. So you're saying, okay, first-year coach in Toronto, Mike Budenholzer coming over to Milwaukee, and Budenholzer's the coach of the year. He's has had an outstanding season. Brett Brown, we saw him in the playoffs last year with the 76ers. He was just absolutely horrendous. So you felt like, okay, out of those four teams at the top, you felt like you guys actually had the best coach of that group. And now it's like, well, Brad Stevens is having an awful year. We talk about players playing poorly. Brad Stevens has been horrendous this season. It's been a very bad season for Brad Stevens. Let's get to Owen in Cambridge. He's back with us. What's up, Owen?
Hey, you know, I have to say, and I don't want to sound like I'm so negative, but to be honest, nobody on this team has gotten better this year. I mean, if you look back at how they played last spring, the backdoor cuts, the extra pass facilitated out of the post with Horford, this team has gone backwards. Okay, you can blame Stevens all you want, but the point guard has not made anybody better. It's like he doesn't get Brown and Tatum the ball in the spots that they can actually achieve nice, you know, it's like you get kicked back to the perimeter for these one-on-one looks without any movement. It's like Kyrie is a total disaster. He's sabotaging this team. And you can blame Stevens, but I think Danny Ainge is so has this thing with Kyrie bringing and recreating the whole thing with Garnett and the big three, and Kyrie's the linchpin. I think this is a total disaster. I think they just have to cut their bait with Kyrie. I mean, Rozier is playing terribly. But when you put Kyrie on the bench and he's not playing, then Rozier shows his real true self. It's like, is one single player improved with Kyrie on the floor? I mean, be honest.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point, Owen. You can grab his line if you wanted. 617-779-7937. I've always said in regards to Kyrie Irving is more of the Allen Iverson type than the Jason Kidd type. Jason Kidd is going to make everybody else on the floor better. You think about guys like Brian Scalabrine got paid big money because Jason Kidd made them better, got him open shots. Think about like Richard Jefferson made his career off getting open looks from a guy like Jason Kidd. Steve Nash did the same thing in his heyday. You think about guys like Sean Marion was outstanding in Phoenix, right? These type of guys. Jason Richardson had career seasons. Quentin Richardson, rather, had a career season in Phoenix because those guys got everybody else involved. Kyrie Irving, and this is not to be, like, critical of Kyrie Irving because he's one of the best scorers in the NBA in terms of one-on-one situations, but he's more in the Allen Iverson mold. He's not going to make a bunch of guys better. So I don't put so much of the lack of improvement with some of the other guys on Kyrie Irving. I put that more on the coach because you should know what Kyrie's game is. Kyrie's game is ISO you up and score on you. Okay, that's what Kyrie Irving does. I put it more on the coach of not getting other guys involved in the spots they need to get the ball, mainly being Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And being asleep at the wheel like tonight when Al Horford, the pick and pop game is working for the first two quarters, then you don't go back to it really in the second half. It's those type of things where the coach seems to be asleep at the wheel. You got to know what your personnel is. Kyrie Irving's never going to be the guy that makes everybody else in the court better. He's never done that at any point during his career. He's not going to start doing it now. All right, we'll continue to talk about this. What do you make out of this loss for the Celtics? What did you make out of IT getting honored tonight? What did you make of the fans at the Garden cheering on Isaiah Thomas like crazy, even when he was playing for the Nuggets on the court? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI. All right, so Isaiah Thomas making some interesting comments after the game tonight. 617-779-7937, the number. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you for about the next 2.5 hours or so. Okay, some interesting comments from Kyrie Irving after the game. This is coming from a bunch of people now. Jared Weiss from The Athletic has it, who covers the Celtics. So IT reflecting on his success with Boston. Quote, those moments were legendary. We did some legendary bleep. I did some legendary bleep, too. Asked if he thinks about what could have happened if he was never traded. Quote, oh, man. Yeah, we would have won a championship already, end quote. Really? So they honor you tonight. They give you a video tribute. And you say after the game that, yeah, we would have won a championship already. Now, he goes on to say that this is Jared Weiss, IT on Boston and the Celtics meaning to him. I went through the worst thing I could go through in my life, and they were right there with me. And that's showing some support for what the Celtics organization did for him. I get that. That's showing compassion. That's showing gratitude for what the Celtics did for you. But then he says stuff like this. He revealed that the Celtics-colored shoes he wore tonight were actually for if they made the finals in the last year with Boston. So the shoes he was wearing tonight were just in case the Celtics made it to the finals. That year they played the Cavaliers. Yeah, the same year they lost 4-1 to the Cavaliers. Those were the shoes that Isaiah Thomas is going to wear in the NBA Finals. And the fact that he has the audacity to say, quote, yeah, we would have already won a championship if he stayed with the Celtics, if they never traded him. What world is this guy living in? How delusional is Isaiah Thomas? And I actually liked Isaiah Thomas, the player. He was fun for the Celtics. All right, it was a nice story. He was everything the team needed at the time. They were an underdog story. Isaiah Thomas was the ultimate underdog in the NBA. 5'9". The Kings didn't want him anymore. The Suns didn't want him anymore. He gets to the Celtics. He becomes literally one of the top five vote-getters for the MVP. Averages 29 points per game. You wanted to buy into the story. The guy was outstanding. Everything he went through with his sister passing away. And he comes in, and he's unbelievable, okay? He's unbelievable the game after that. He gets his tooth knocked out. He needs a root canal. He comes back. He plays well after that. He literally sacrifices his body for the team, playing on an injured hip. But to say that you would have won a championship already, what world is this guy living in? What planet is this guy from? Isaiah, last year you couldn't play for the Cavaliers. When you were on the court, you were ineffective because you were dealing with a hip injury. They traded you away, a team that was a contender for a championship that ended up winning the Eastern Conference. They said, we're better without you. We don't want you anymore. We're better without you. We gave up our second best player in Kyrie Irving for you, but we don't even want you. We don't even want you on the team. That's what the Cavaliers said about Isaiah Thomas because he's damaged goods with the hip. He goes to the Lakers and he can't play anymore. He couldn't play for the Lakers this year. He's playing on the league minimum and he's out of the rotation. He's out of the rotation for the Denver Nuggets. So much so that he was playing pickup ball at Emerson. He got courtesy playing time tonight because the Celtics were giving him the video tribute. Okay, so he's out of the rotation. He's playing pickup games at Emerson, and he says they would have won a championship by now if he had not been traded. I just don't understand how that is even, how he could even think that. How delusional can one person be? There's no way that he could actually think that. I mean, as confident as some of these guys are in the NBA, but how could you even think that? It makes no sense whatsoever. 617-779-7937. The delusional Isaiah Thomas. Let's get to Kelvina. She's in Dorchester tonight. What's going on, Kelvina?
How are you tonight?
Good, good. What do you got?
I know it was Isaiah's night, the championship. It would have won a championship with them. But I just want to get to some points because like you said, I don't know what Brad Stevens is doing. Marcus Morris, it seems like he's hit a wall. And I'm just trying, it's like, I don't know if he has, it doesn't seem like he has no legs, whatever the case is. I don't know why he's not starting Jaylen Brown. Then he's subbing in Jaylen Brown for Jason Tatum, to Jason Tatum for, I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kelvina. He's been frustrating all season long.
Yeah.
You think about Brad Stevens, and I appreciate the phone call. You can grab her line if you wanted. 617-779-7937. I get it. I get the frustration because clearly you think about Brad Stevens. He was somebody that had been overachieving, right, with the Celtics teams in the past. There's no way that Celtics team should have been to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. After you lose Hayward to begin the season, then Kyrie Irving goes down. You shouldn't have gone to Game 7 based on that. And you got great production out of young guys in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And for whatever reason, Brad Stevens has decided that he's not going to build off that, right? Because what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum became last year in the postseason were like legitimate weapons. You look at them last year, they both averaged about 18 points per game. They both shot nearly 50% from the field in the postseason. And Jaylen Brown shot nearly 39% from the three-point line last year in the postseason. So you figure, okay, those guys are ready to take a step forward. They're ready to get going. And when you come into this season, you know that Gordon Hayward is coming off a major injury. He's showed signs at certain times this year. He had that big game against the Warriors a couple of weeks ago. We've seen it against Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago. He played well against Detroit. He played well. But he's been up and down for most of the season. But you even knew with Gordon Hayward coming back, you should have assumed that, okay, he's not going to be the same Gordon Hayward right away. And what we found with some of these young guys is they were really good in the postseason. So let's build off that. Let's build part of our offense around these guys because they've been successful, like, on the biggest stage. And for whatever reason, Brad Stevens has never built stuff into the offense for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. It's this egalitarian offense, which is stupid. It makes no sense in the NBA to have an egalitarian offense. Kyrie gets the most shots, and after that, everybody's going to take between 10 and 13 shots. That's essentially what the Celtics are doing. So that's why we've gotten to a point where Marcus Morris feels like he's the second-best player on the team because the coach has enabled him to think that. That's why there is games this year that Marcus Morris has found a way to shoot the Celtics out of. Marcus Morris has done that this year. That's why Marcus Morris feels comfortable when he gets the ball. He's going to go one-on-one because he feels like he's the second-best player on the team when the reality of it is he's a journeyman in this league that's now played for, what, four NBA teams. And he's never been that good of a player, but for whatever reason, he believes on this team he can be the second-best player on the team. So instead of building off last year and building off what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have done, they've decided to just open up the offense for everybody not named Kyrie Irving, right? So everybody else is on the same page. Kyrie Irving does his thing, which I'm fine with. Kyrie Irving should be the feature guy in the offense. He's by far the best player on the team. But at what point do you look at it from the perspective of we have to develop some of these young guys? Because Jason Tatum, it's not like he's taken a big leap from last year. He was better in the postseason than he has been this year. Jaylen Brown over the past couple of months has taken a step forward. But tonight, he goes out there and he only plays 20 minutes. And we don't know why the coach only played him 20 minutes. He's been averaging 22, 23, 22 points per game over this last couple of stretch, over this last three games. He's been great heading into tonight. And all of a sudden, he plays 20 minutes. And you got Terry Rozier playing more than him. You got Marcus Smart playing more than him. Hey, that just makes no sense whatsoever. So I have no idea what Brad Stevens is doing this year. I think it's one of those things where Brad Stevens before, it was like a situation where there was no expectations. And now when the expectations are actually on Brad Stevens, when the lights got bright, he has not been able to figure it out. And we're now getting ready for the postseason, and you still don't know what you're going to get out of this offense. And it's a shame because this team should be so much better than it is, even with Gordon Hayward not being the player he was in Utah. Even without that, okay? Even with Gordon Hayward being this version of Gordon Hayward, you still should be so much better. Like, there's no reason that Jason Tatum should only be taking three free throws per game. There's no reason that with, what, 15 or so games to go in the season, that Jason Tatum is still taking long contested twos. This is something that should have been drilled into Jason Tatum. Stop taking those fadeaway shots and get to the basket. The reason you were the third pick in the draft is because you were a dominant scorer at Duke. And we figured at the NBA level, you could be that same player. So continue to get to the free throw line. It's going to make your life easier if you get to the free throw line. Okay, it's going to open other things up for you. When you're slumping, get to the basket, and for whatever reason, Brad Stevens has not stressed that whatsoever with this team. Now, the other point that was brought up about Kyrie Irving, my stance on Kyrie Irving has been this. If you're going to get Anthony Davis, I'm fine with Kyrie staying because that means Kyrie Irving can go back to his Robin role where he's the second best player on the team and he can still be the face of the franchise because we know he loves the attention. He can still be that, but you have Davis who is a dominant player at both ends. So I'm fine if Davis is around. But if it's just Kyrie, I'm not signing up for that because I'm not signing up for where this team's at right now. Kyrie Irving comes back, and we already see how upset he is this year with the team. What if these guys don't take a step forward next year? Okay, what if that doesn't happen? What if they don't take a step forward next year? Then you have the controversy. He'll probably be upset with the coach. And you could say, oh, well, if he signs the contract, he's not going to want to get traded. Well, a year from when he signs the contract and he starts to get frustrated with the team, what do you think is going to happen after he gets his money? He's going to be asking for a trade. So I'm not dealing with the headache of Kyrie Irving unless another star is coming to the Celtics. If there's not another star coming to the Celtics, I don't want any part of Kyrie Irving on a five-year deal. Plus the fact that he's been injured throughout his career. We know this. Didn't play in the postseason a year ago. Missed the postseason or missed the finals in 2015, the first year the Warriors won, because he was dealing with a knee injury. So we know that he's had issues. This year, think about how many maintenance days the guy needs. I'm not building my franchise around Kyrie Irving. It's fine if he's Robin, But I need Batman, and Batman will be Anthony Davis. So if Davis isn't coming, then I don't want Kyrie Irving around. I'll build around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and hope the coach can actually use these guys in the right manner, which he hasn't this year. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Jacob. He's in Dorchester. What's going on, Jacob?
Hi. To the point you just made about Kyrie kind of doing his own thing while the rest of the team is playing system ball, I remember reading this great article. I wish I remembered the source. I'd credit it. But they said that the Celtics last year played a lot like the Spurs used to, finding the best open shot, taking a lot of corner threes type of stuff. And now this year, it's a much more different offense, a lot of holding the ball at the top of the key for 8 seconds before you even make a pass, and less pick and rolls. And I'm seeing a lot, as a casual basketball fan, a lot less clean basketball, sort of. You know, I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Jacob. I understand where you're coming from. You can grab his line if you wanted, 617-779-7937. I understand where he's coming from. The Kyrie Irving offense, Terry Rozier admitted it. When Kyrie Irving's on the court, they sit around and they watch Kyrie Irving. That's what they do. They sit around and they watch Kyrie Irving. Okay, because that's what Kyrie Irving does. He's an isolation player. He's great in isolation situations. But at some point, Brad Stevens needed to build some sort of hierarchy on this team and get other guys in positions where they can score easily. And he hasn't done that with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown's having success despite Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens hasn't enabled Jaylen Brown to take that next step. Jaylen Brown's just been taking it over the past couple games. And what does he get for it? He gets punished. He only plays 20 minutes tonight. Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart, and Terry Rozier played more minutes than Jaylen Brown. How does that make any sense? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI. All right. So the shocker of the night, not that Isaiah Thomas got his video tribute. We all know that was coming. Not the fact that the Celtics blew another game. We knew that that could happen because this team seems like they want to do that every other game, apparently. They have a lead, they blow it. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you. That's not the shocker. The shocker is what Isaiah Thomas said after the game. Quote, yeah, we would have probably won a championship already if the team didn't trade him. He said after the game that the Celtics would have won a championship already if the team didn't trade him. After all that happened for you tonight, Isaiah, really? That's what you say? After everything that's gone on for you, basically, there's been a tongue bathing in this town for you over the past 48 hours. Everybody honoring Isaiah Thomas. And I get why people like him in this town. I like him too. I don't have anything against Isaiah Thomas. Okay? But the fact that they went out of their way to, after they already canceled a video tribute for you at your request, okay? You didn't want the video tribute last year because you weren't going to be playing and your family wasn't going to be there. And then the next time, Paul Pierce said, no, he's not doing it on my night, which I don't have a problem with Pierce doing that. Pierce is getting his jersey hung up in the rafters. He's been the best Celtic since Larry Bird. He's the finals MVP, won a championship. He wants it to be his day. I'm fine with that, okay? So you couldn't do it that night, and now they wait until the end of this season, essentially, to give you your video tribute. They give you a video tribute. The crowd was literally cheering for you when you were taking a shot tonight. They wanted the ball to go in for you. And after the game, you're saying, we would have probably won a championship already. Are you kidding me? How delusional can this guy be? This is unbelievable. It makes no sense. I don't get it. Isaiah, you know that you haven't really played for the past two seasons, right? Cleveland didn't want you. You couldn't play with LeBron James, the best player in the world. Okay, you went to the Lakers after that. Now you're playing on a league minimum contract. And you're saying, we would have won a championship already? This makes no sense whatsoever. Like, it's one thing when Kobe and Shaq say, yeah, if we never broke up, maybe we win 6-7 championships. Okay, that makes sense. It's a totally different thing when a 5'9" guy with an awful hip is saying after the game, we would have probably won a championship already. Isaiah, they told you this year. They told you. Mike Malone, the head coach of the team, you know what he said to you? Isaiah, you're out of the rotation. You're not playing anymore because we have a backup point guard who is a second-round pick out of Iowa State named Monte Morris, who's better than you. He's better than you, okay? So you're not going to play anymore, okay? Not that he said it in that tone. He's probably like, Isaiah, appreciate the hard work. Hope you get your footing back. Hope eventually we can get to a point where we're playing you. But right now, it's best for the team if you don't play, okay? So that's probably how Mike Malone said it to him, not the way I'm saying it, okay? But the point is, you're out of an NBA rotation right now. You're playing on a league minimum contract, and you're saying that the team would have already won a championship. Like, Isaiah, you know everything that went on with your hip. You've been damaged goods. I mean, I hate to say it, and he sacrificed everything for this team in terms of his health, but you're playing on a damaged hip. Clearly, This team was not winning a championship with you. They weren't. They were. I don't even understand how he says something like this. Like, you have to be somewhat aware of your situation, don't you? Even if you're so confident in yourself, you have to be somewhat aware of your situation. It would be one thing like, okay, so say it didn't work out in Cleveland, and now this year he ends up in Denver like he is, but he's actually playing, like, really, really well. Say he's back to the old Isaiah, or 90% of the old Isaiah. He's averaging 26 points per game or something. And maybe you can justify it then, right? Because you're like, oh, this is the 2 seed in the Western Conference, and Isaiah is a major reason why. But the point is, you're not even playing. You're not in the rotation. So it'd be one thing if you're actually playing well. It's a totally different thing when you're basically a non-factor and you're not playing for the Nuggets right now. The only reason he played tonight is because it was against the Celtics, and his head coach, Mike Malone, wanted to throw him a bone. Because remember when he went in the game, end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, doesn't play in the second half. Okay, so that's the only reason you were even playing tonight. Would have won a championship if he never left. Jeez. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like Kyrie in this town because some of the stuff he does off the court. But geez, Isaiah, you have an awfully high opinion of yourself and a very low opinion on Kyrie Irving. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Lee, who's in New York. What's up, Lee?
You know what? I give IT a pass on that statement. I think he didn't say it right, but I think if you translate it, that was like, you know what, Danny? You got a dysfunctional team, and you would have had a better brand of basketball if I was still on the team. What do you think of that?
Oh, so you think it's kind of a shot at Danny Ainge. Okay. Maybe I can go with that conspiracy theory. The only thing I'd point out, Lee, is remember, this is the guy that originally said he would never talk to Danny Ainge again, or he didn't think he would, and then now he's open to a return. And he was open to a return apparently last summer, and it was basically going to be for a league minimum deal. You know what I mean? So I don't think it was a shot at Danny Ainge. I think he's just maybe this delusional.
I hear you. It's tough. The guy was on the verge of a max contract to get the injuries.
No, I feel bad for him. I just think this is a stupid comment.
Yeah. In terms of this team, you know, it's so hard to put your finger on it, but I was just looking at a few observations tonight that I think keep running through the season when they play good teams. You know, the good teams always seem to look like they can score so much more easily, and it's like pulling teeth for us to get the ball in the hole. And how many layups does this team miss? It's not just tonight. It's happened so much. The open looks, they just seem to go down last year. They don't go down this year. And then 50-50 balls, I think we get them all in the last 5 minutes when Marcus Smart goes nuts. But throughout the balance of the game, I don't think we get those either. It's like those intangibles this team just has not been able to get over the hump with.
Yeah. No, I understand where you're coming from, Lee. I do. It seems like at times this season, and I appreciate the phone call, it seems like at times this season there has been situations where if you look at the Celtics team, there has been frustration with the effort level. That's certainly been the case. There's been times this year where the leader of the team, Kyrie Irving, will not run back on defense. We've seen that several times. There was times tonight, for example, where Jason Tatum got frustrated, where he missed a three, and then he didn't get back on defense. And then when he got back on defense, he fell asleep, and you gave up a wide-open three-pointer to Torrey Craig in the corner. There has been really this sense of entitlement with the Celtics team, it seems like all season long, where it almost feels like they think they can go through the motions because what they heard before the season was they're the favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference. They were the Vegas favorite. So it's almost like, okay, they bought into all that hype that they feel like they can go through the motions. Like, we know the Warriors, they can go through the motions because at the end of it, they're going to be playing for the NBA Finals because they've done it so many times. They can slack off, right? Because they know when they need to get their habits back, which is going super hard on defense all the time and going nuts. Like, they can get those habits back and they can turn it on in the postseason. The Celtics, they don't have that credibility because this version of the team hasn't really proven anything. So it's almost like they felt entitled and they've never built up those winning habits that you get from great basketball teams. It's like Milwaukee, nobody expected them to be this good. And so they've had this good culture with the team all season long, and they continue to build on good habits. The Celtics, it just seems like they feel like everything should just be given to them. And when you criticize anybody on the team, it seems like they just point to, oh, it's the media's fault. It's this, it's that. There's a different excuse every time. And it just feels like throughout this season, there's never been any sort of identity that's ever been established with this team. All right, a lot more to get to. Certainly, you can weigh in on the Celtics if you'd like to do so. 617-779-7937 is the number. Also want to get to some Patriots stuff. Apparently, they're interested in a wide receiver. God knows they need one based on what they have right now. And also, Dustin Pedroia. You heard him trending a couple times tonight. He says he's ready to go. Only problem is he's going to start with an extended spring training, not be with the team on opening day. So what do you make of that? Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours right here on WEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.